Bring grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I launch into the message today and we consecrate the hearing of this word through prayer, just a couple of notes as we gather this particular Super Bowl Sunday that our Belize mission team has got a soup supper going on down in the dining hall following our kids' ministry sometime around about 10:30 or so, 10:15, 10:30. And so after a Bible study for this service, if you'd like to go down there and have some nice, light, and festive lunch, that would be a great thing. And I can't believe it's already this time of year where we are looking at one more message for this particular sermon series, and we'll be in Lent. And so Ash Wednesday's coming up, those two announcements on the backside of your bulletin, but we begin to orient ourselves toward Lent and Easter, and with that, springtime and summer warmth. And so all those things are just great. As we gather today, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the mission. The mission upon which each of us have been ordained and sent. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the worship, which whether by weekend or weekday we are privileged to enjoy, by which to hear your word and sing hymns of praise to you. Thank you, O God, for the gospel of Jesus, in which we find the most great, the most wonderful news of all, that we are forgiven of all of our sins for Christ's sake. And with that forgiveness, our eternity is sealed, and our life in this world is invigorated with hope, joy. So let this message from Colossians chapter 3 be a vehicle for that hope, for that joy in Jesus, we ask it. And all of God's people said, Amen. It should be noted, just as we were reading through Isaiah 40, in case you are a Patriots fan, that was not some subtle dig at the Patriots. While it is true that Isaiah 40 mentions being lifted up as on wings of eagles, that does not mean that we are, as a congregation, officially rooting for Philadelphia today. No, today we want to root for the spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We want to cheer on the ministry of the gospel at work in our hearts. And as Pastor Meggers last week, he got to be all law. Don't do these things. By the grace of God, I get to be this week a little bit more gospel-oriented and invite you to simply fulfill this command, be Jesus, okay? I don't have to spend a lot of time on this message this morning if I don't want to, because the simple thrust of the text from Colossians 3 is summarized in these two words, be Jesus. And not just be Jesus in some moral or super, you know, a spiritual sense. No, I'm talking being Jesus at the most theologically specific sense of those words. That is to say, be a vehicle, a vessel for the forgiveness of sins that God seeks to give mercifully to the human race. You know, after the words that Pastor Meggers had last week, all the vice list of don't do these things, avoid maliciousness and slander and gossip and greed and all of those things, Paul turns to the positive aspects of our resolve as Christians. And all of those positive aspects ultimately are centered in this single phrase, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you are to embrace any positive aspect, anything that is wholesome and good, if you're going to pursue positive resolutions this New Year's season, then the greatest of those would be the forgiveness of sins found in Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to that end today. When I ask you to be Jesus, I'm not asking you to be perfect in every good work. No, that's for another sermon on another Sunday. Today I'm asking you to be perfect in the way that you offer forgiveness and mercy to others in this world. You know, I read Colossians chapter 3 frequently when I do weddings. It's right up there with 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is patient, love is kind, and so on and so forth. But Colossians chapter 3 is nearly as frequent. And myself, having been married for 21 years and having hung out with people who have been married far longer, in our conversations about what marriage is, when I have a freshly minted groom and a freshly minted bride standing in front of me, wide-eyed, starry-eyed, looking forward to this blissful thing that we call the wedded life, marriage. And I read these words and all of these commands that are to characterize their marriage, there is a cynical side of me. Because after 21 years, Mrs. Seidler and I have had some marriage adjustment moments. Or, well, in the next service when Mrs. Seidler is in the room, I have responded positively to marriage adjustment advice from Renee. Right? Of course. So all of that to say, whenever I read Colossians chapter 3, there is a cynical side of me that says, as Paul reads out the desire for tender-hearted mercy, lots of hugs, and kindness, humility, especially when bets are made between the Cardinals and the Cubs at times early on in marriage, gentleness, patience, allowance for each other's faults. You know, that worked for about the first week. Then there was a valley of about 20 years, and now we're coming out, and I think it's getting better. You know, this is how it goes, right? But the call on our lives is to be Jesus, to remember him. You know, the Colossian church, we've not done a lot of backstory on the Colossians. The Colossian church is so many of the recipients of Paul's letters. They are a critical church. They are a city that is at the center, the crossroads of commerce, politics, culture. When Paul writes to the Colossians, he's not just writing to some schmoes out in, you know, the backwater. He's writing to some people in a city that is consequential for the cause of the gospel and the culture of the Roman Empire. And it just strikes me, I'm not sure if this is really the case, but it just strikes me that if Paul is going to hope for anything positive from them, it has to be at the nub of the Christian religion. Has to be at the core of what Christ came to do. Not to just give some generalized moral example, not to give some indication of what spiritual virtue looks like, but to get right to the heart of it. This is the distinguishing feature of the Colossian Christian church. Forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is really, again, as I mentioned earlier, a simple message. Be Jesus. Show forgiveness. Help me and Pastor Meggers as pastors never to have to stand over your coffin and listen to people, especially your most dearest loved ones, talk about regrets because of unreconciled lives. Reconcile yourself to others. Be reconciled to God as well. Forgive those who have sinned against you. Swallow your pride. Be humble. Bear a little bit embarrassment or shame, because you're the one who makes the first move to say, you know what, let's bury the old saw. Let's figure this out and make a new day of it with your sons, your daughters, Maybe your husband or wife, maybe your ex-husband or your ex-wife. And I would be remiss if in talking about forgiveness, I didn't remind you as well, remember every once in a while, forgive yourself. Too many conversations that I have with too many people, and I'm okay doing it because it's my job, but too many conversations about past guilt, past shame, all the way back to adolescence and college days, and you're 60, 70 years old. It's time to let it go. Remember that Christ forgave you. And therefore you can, with all the theological permission of heaven, you can say, I forgive myself too. I can put that misstep, that mishap, that bad choice behind me. I may still be living with the consequences of it for sure, but I can now forgive myself because I know that in Christ I am forgiven as well. It's on that basis that we can sing. Oh, you may have a croaker of a voice, I'm not doubting that, but in your heart of hearts, you can be glad. You can speak favorably to one another. Because that cynicism has been demolished, that grisly spirit has been softened. Yeah, forgive. Or to put it more simply, this Sunday, beginning today, as we fight for the greater glory of God among us, let's show the world what it means to be Jesus. Let's show the world what it means to forgive, as God recklessly, amazingly forgave you. Amen.